Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shue.
We've got a good show this morning. We're going to talk firefighters and a number of things going on and a number of efforts. To help firefighters. The Virginia Professional Firefighter Charitable Foundation and the Virginia Chapter of the Firefighter Cancer Support Network are our focus this morning. And we welcome back to the show a show we did last summer that was, I would say, one of the top five shows we did all year, just on information. Ryan McGill is here. He's a firefighter. Steve Weissman is here, also a retired firefighter, but busy as ever. And welcome back to the show, guys.
Thanks, Ted. Thank you so much for having us.
It's good to have you. I learned so much from the two of you, and a lot of it just dealt with the dangers of being a firefighter, and goes more than just rushing into a burning building. That I thought, well, that's pretty much what you deal with. There are a lot of things out there, and a lot of things that you guys are helping others with, and glad to have you back.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Let me kind of tie up one loose end. Steve, you were telling me when you came in the last time, you talked about there was a golf tournament to raise some money. It was very successful.
It was extremely successful. I cannot thank the community, the local businesses that helped us and supported us in our effort. Lee's Hill Golf Course opened up their doors to us. It was a complete sellout. We had 144 golfers and staff there. Everyone had a great time. More importantly, two items that occurred that really opened eyes to a lot of folks. We set up a memorial walk. We had the photographs of all the firefighters mm-hmm. of last year who died of cancer. And we lined that as the golfers went out to their first hole. And that really made a tremendous impact with that. And we had some family members of the survivors, surviving family members there attending with us. And
yeah.
It was a great opportunity to really bring to light the issues with cancer and firefighters.
And again, it'll happen again this year, later in the year, and we'll get the information out whenever you provide it.
Already ready to go, September 18th, Lee's Hill. Looking forward to it again.
It's a great way for the community to get involved in a lot of times. A lot of people say, I'd like to help out. I don't know how. Here's one way.
Absolutely. Our website will be up and running. There's areas for sponsorship, for donations, and to help us manage the event. I would say more than half of the individuals playing golf were not firefighters, which really a lot of military folks. So a lot of eyes opened up to the hazards that we face with occupational cancer.
Let's talk about that. Firefighter cancer. That's what you're here for. It's an issue. It's a big issue, and that's why you're here, and that's why you all continue to talk about this.
Yeah. Now, firefighter cancer is the leading cause of line of duty deaths now of firefighters. It's become a top priority for the International Association of Firefighters under the leadership of President Ed Kelly. He has said this is the number one thing that our union is working on, is reducing mm-hmm. or extinguishing firefighter cancer. I'll let Steve share some numbers with you here in a little bit.
All right, go ahead. All right. So every year out in Colorado Springs, the International Association of Firefighters has a memorial to honor the firefighters that died in the line of duty.
Yeah.
So since 2019, 469 union firefighters died in the line of duty. Out of those 469, 348 died of occupational cancer. That's 75% of the names that are memorialized on that memorial, if you will.
Yeah.
Died of occupational cancer, and the numbers are unfortunately going up.
That's like being you talk about epidemics and things. That's a big deal.
Yeah, tremendous deal. And unfortunately, they're young firefighters. In Virginia last year, we had 8 firefighters died of occupational cancer. The average age was 55 years old.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a big number, too, when you think about it.
You think about Virginia. Now, I have to say that these are the firefighters that have reached out to the Cancer Support Network in Virginia. There could be more.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that reached out to us for assistance.
Right. Is that something that is someone like you right now that's a current firefighter? You live in King George, work up in Fairfax. Yeah. But I would think for people that are thinking about becoming a firefighter, this is an issue, something you've got to think about and talk to your family about.
It definitely can impact the next generations of people that are looking to get in the fire service. That's why it is a top priority for us. We need to, figure this out, figure out control measures, in which we're doing some great work on to reduce that, so that the next generation of firefighters won't have the same struggle that we're having. That's what it's all about, leaving it better for the next generation of firefighters.
Yeah. So what are some of the ways that you're able to try to fight this?
So there's a multiple-prong approach that we're taking, right? It's centered around research. Research is the key to figuring out the problem. So researching how the exposures that we receive in the line of duty cause changes to our DNA and lead to cancer diagnoses. So there's the research component, and everything flows around that. So then we take the research and we educate people, make them aware of it, talk about control measures, such as going through on-scene decon, washing your PPE, taking a shower within the hour of exposure. Mm-hmm. All those things are very critical in reducing what we call the drops in the bucket that add up to forming cancer. And then there's things like we're doing today, educational components of reaching out to inform not only you, but our elected officials, so that when we go down to Richmond and try and seek additional presumptive coverage, they understand what our challenges are. So those are just a couple of the things that we're doing and the International Association of Firefighters are doing. This week coming up, we'll be down in Richmond meeting with our legislators, trying to expand some of our presumptive coverage. We could talk about that.
Yeah, we will get into that as we go along here this morning. And I guess one of the things, when you talk about, getting the showers and doing that's something, I guess, you really have to be vigilant on, because sure there are times, sometimes you're just like, okay, it can wait,
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those times, and you put yourself at risk and those around you and
it's
your family.
It's a true cultural change of the fire service. We have to change the cultural. We're rooted in hundreds of years of tradition and the way that we've always done things.
Yeah.
And now we have to change a culture of an industry that's been around forever. So
one of the things that we're doing, the International Association of Firefighters and the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, the national-based organization, have partnered and made January Firefighter Cancer Awareness Month. What does that mean? That means we're flooding fire departments with research information, educational materials, downloadable presentations that they can use at the firehouse to educate their firefighters of the hazards of cancer. So the information's out there. We just really press upon local fire chiefs and leaders and union leaders, the volunteers that are in this area, to get on our website, firefightercancersupport.org, and you'll see the information. This is a month-long campaign to get the word out of the hazards of the occupational cancer. But we want to just make sure that this is just not a one-month deal. We want to make sure, and us as an organization, will continue that battle and educational components for the entire year.
Is there more awareness, Steve, of this since you got involved with this? Has this always been done, or has this been just in recent years?
In the last two or three years, it has really exploded. It's exploded because of the numbers of firefighters that are dying of occupational cancer.
Yeah.
So that's really come to light. And then how do we fix it? How do we make the changes, the cultural changes? And that's very difficult to, especially the younger firefighters are easy because we can train them in recruit school and get them on the right track. It's the incumbents that are out there that are just dragging along a little bit.
Yeah, I can see when, Ryan, when you said, we've always done it this way, that's got to be a big deal of somebody saying, oh, come on, you know, I've gone this far doing it.
Sure.
I'm okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, many times the change is hard for people to accept until it's kind of in their face. They have that diagnosis, and then it's, I wish I would have done these things. And I'll say this, we have a core group of people, at least where I'm at, that are being strong advocates for the change. Some of the folks that have recently been diagnosed, I can't thank them all enough for the work that they're putting in to ensure that and help that their fellow brother or sister firefighter doesn't have the same fate that they have with the cancer diagnosis.
Ryan McGill is here. Steve Weissman is here. The Virginia Professional Firefighter Charitable Foundation and the Virginia Chapter of the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, our focus. Quick break. We'll continue on this morning there. We'll talk about some efforts in the General Assembly when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Steve Weissman and Ryan McGill here, the Virginia Professional Firefighter Charitable Foundation and the Virginia Chapter of the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, our focus this morning. So you've kind of alluded to it a little bit, Steve, that you are involved with going to be involved with the General Assembly this year, and just educating lawmakers, kind of like you've over the course of the past year educated myself and others, and I guess working on some legislation.
Yeah, we are. Currently, there are 10 cancers that are covered under the Virginia Presumptive Act, and after looking at some statistics of the year, we realized that there are a few cancers that our firefighters are getting that are not covered. So we're going to try to make a push for that this year. The three cancers are melanoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, bladder, and thyroid cancer. And we're looking at those cancers. And if you think about being exposed to a toxin, it gets into your body. Depending on the toxin, it lasts for years before it turns into a cancer, the latency period. So some of these cancers have 20 to 30 year latency periods. So we're seeing a tremendous increase, particularly this year. We saw a tremendous increase in thyroid cancer. We had 11 firefighters that reached out to us with thyroid cancer. And sadly, the average age was about 28 years old of the firefighter. And why is it happening? Yeah, obviously, we're not research scientists, but it's happening. We've seen prostate cancer and kidney cancer are the top three cancers we're seeing in our firefighters this year. And that's abnormal. There's been research studies that are out there that are showing that those cancers are much greater cancers to be diagnosed with in the general population in the United States. So those are the cancers that we're going to try to ask our legislators to add to the Presumptive Act to protect our firefighters.
So every time you go into a structure, a burning structure, do you always have a mask or you're getting oxygen so you're not trying not to breathe anything in?
Yeah, all firefighters that are going into a burning structure should be wearing all their personal protective equipment. That said, all that personal protective equipment doesn't necessarily protect us from the chemical exposure.
That's what I was going to ask you.
So our gear is not designed to protect us from chemical exposure. Our breathing mask will protect our airway, but there's areas of our gear that allow chemicals to get through, and then they're dermally absorbed through our skin. And that's our primary route of exposure is dermal absorption of these toxins. Going back to what Steve was saying about the increase in thyroid cancer, our PPE over the years is improving, and now we have what's called a particulate blocking hood, and that reduces our exposure by about 98% depending on the hood that you purchase. But if a department doesn't have those hoods, you're down to like 20% particulate protection, and that gets into the thyroid area where we're seeing some of the uptick. There's research that shows that the thyroid absorbs these chemicals that are in flame retardants and anything else synthetic that burns puts off what's called polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, and those lead to DNA changes and cause cancer.
And then you have to remember the smoke, the soot lays on our personal protective equipment. And if the firefighter doesn't come out and perform decontamination, just wash it off with soap and water on the fire ground. They bring that back to the firehouse, and it off-gasses for days and days, and they're still being exposed to that. They're still breathing that in. And more importantly, or sadly, if they don't clean it and it lays at the firehouse, now they're exposing the other firefighters from other shifts, and they're coming in. So it's a cycle that we have to break.
Boy, and you think of, too, this is where it gets important when in each locality, at budget time, when you're asking for increased and improved equipment, this isn't just something that this would be nice to have. This is life and death.
That's a great point, Ted. I'm glad you brought that up, because we still have firefighters in Virginia that only have one set of firefighter gear.
Yeah.
Called turnout gear, right? So they may not have the ability to go back and get out of that dirty, contaminated gear and get into a clean set of gear, so that they could go run the next call. So they may have to still wear that same dirty gear until they could get it cleaned and dried. And that's an issue, right? And, you know, all this comes down to funding, right? The particulate barrier hoods that I just spoke about, they cost money.
Right.
You know, and that has to be accounted for in budgets or when you're going for grants. So, yes, very good point.
Now, as you were talking about it, I thought, you know, it can be any size locality, whether it's Fairfax,
yep.
whether it's Colonial Beach, or
yep,
you know,
exactly.
large and small rural. It's important that localities have the latest equipment here, and it's not just because it would be nice to have.
Yep.
You want to protect your firefighters.
It is, and there's a special washing machine. It's called an extractor. That's used to remove the toxins back at the firehouse. We just can't throw our personal protective gear in a normal washing machine and we'll not wash it and clean it. And that extractor runs about $9,000 to $10,000. It's made to withstand the beating of the heavy turnout gear and pull that material, the toxins, out. Not every firehouse or every fire department can afford that. Now there's grants out there that you could seek, but unfortunately it takes time for grants. So looking at that revenue stream is sometimes difficult and frustrating.
Yeah, well, it really is more. It again, before I got hooked up with you guys, to me it would be, well, you just put on a mask and you have air and you're okay. But there are, just like you have said, there are so many other things, mm-hmm. either during the fire or after the fire, that you have to consider.
Absolutely
correct. We talked a little bit about a research. The Virginia chapter of the Cancer Support Network went into partnership with VCU Massey Cancer Center. They are one of the only two national cancer institutes in Virginia. And we're doing some great work with them. We're doing some research with them. We've created a statewide cancer survey and a registry. So a firefighter who's exposed on the scene of a fire of the soot and the toxins, mm-hmm. can log into that. We can track the firefighter and really get a great idea of where in problems exist in Virginia.
So the upcoming General Assembly session is not no longer upcoming. It's underway.
Yeah,
it's underway. Yeah. So there are a couple of things that you're looking at and wanting to get lawmakers to consider.
Yeah. So we have a bill coming forward. It's House Bill 1408. That's the patron delegate is Emily Brewer out of the 64th District. And basically, like Steve was talking about earlier, that bill seeks to add melanoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, bladder, and thyroid cancer. We're asking for any of our delegates from around the state, any of our representatives, to be a co-patron on that bill, to sign their name to it and stand with firefighters in the fight against occupational cancer.
Yeah, no, as you discussed that, and I mean, you look at those, and again, this is important stuff.
Yeah, obviously, this is the presumptive. Is to protect our members and their family.
Yeah.
You know, we would much rather not have to come to the state to ask for coverage. We want to stop the member from even getting cancer. That's the goal in the first place.
Sure.
So we're going to be working on a bunch of other things in the future to really hammer that home, to reduce the occupational claims. That's the goal. Reduce the members getting cancer, reduce the claims, but then have it as a backstop to protect our members and their family, that if they do get it, it's occupational related.
Well, and the other thing you think of too is, and we'll just the dealing with cancer, but what it does to a firehouse, just as far as staffing goes. All of a sudden, you're you're down a person or two, and that can have, for a locality, be a pretty serious thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's even if the person ends up coming back to work, right? And then the toll that it takes, like you said, on the staffing, yeah, that's one thing. But the toll it takes on the person, the shift mates, and the person's family, you know, going through occupational cancer
It's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. To see some firefighters going through it. Not only that, but their family have to endure that. And sadly, again, the 10 cancers are covered, so it's covered under workers' comp for career volunteers.
Yeah.
However, if you are diagnosed with a cancer outside of those 10, then you're using your own sick leave, your own insurance. And in some cases, you're using so much time off that the jurisdiction's saying that, you know, we can't employ you anymore because you've exceeded
11 months,
which is allowable by law.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what a lot of people don't know. We have our people serving in the community, and then they could possibly looking at being let go.
Let go.
Because of that occupational disease. What an awful thought.
Yeah. But it's happening, or we wouldn't be talking about it.
It has happened. Firefighting is a unique profession. The training you have to go through to be a firefighter. And what you're responsible for. This is not a normal job, that if you take a couple months off, you can go back and, no disrespect, sit behind a desk and continue your job. You're out there in the public, and you're exposed to other issues that could really hurt you later on. So we have seen jurisdictions say, you might start thinking about another profession.
Mm. Much more to talk about. We're going to take a quick break. Ryan McGill here, Steve Weissman here, the Virginia Professional Firefighter Charitable Foundation and the Virginia Chapter of the Firefighter Cancer Support Network is our focus this morning. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
I have the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Steve Weissman, Ryan McGill here this morning as we talk about firefighters and some of the things being that affect firefighters and communities. Virginia Professional Firefighter Charitable Foundation and the Virginia Chapter of the Firefighter Cancer Support Network are focused this morning. One thing we haven't talked about, we sort of have a little bit though, but Ryan, I would think that in any situation, when in any workplace, when someone announces they have cancer, it's a big shock to anybody and to a family. But for a firehouse where you're all kind of a family and living together, all of a sudden, if a person, or heaven forbid, two, or all of a sudden get cancer, it would shake you, well, more so than maybe in some other situations.
Yes, it absolutely does. Like you said, our work family is our second family. We're there 24 hours with them.
We live together,
everything, right? So we become very close. Families become very close. So when a member of your shift is diagnosed, you know, there's a lot of things that may be going through your mind, just like the person who was diagnosed, you know, the little bit of the fear, right?
How'd I get this?
How'd they get
it? And in this case, it's even more so.
Right. Was it something we ran a call together on?
Right. Right.
May I be come down with it? There's a lot of things that go into it, and then it comes into supporting that member, right? We're a family. We need to make sure that we're supporting them. Obviously, the Firefighter mm-hmm. Cancer Support Network. And so with Steve and the support network, and I can only speak for my local, we're trying to do more to make sure that we're supporting our members that ultimately are getting this occupational cancer diagnosis. And sadly, we have a lot of our members right now going through treatment, being diagnosed, and we're actually working on right now doing a little bit of a support effort for one of our members that's going through treatment, and it's actually they're going to have a procedure done down here in the Fredericksburg region.
Correct. So that brings up a tremendous point, and that's the focus of the Cancer Support Network. That's our mission. Our mission is to provide assistance to that firefighter and their immediate families once a diagnosis is made. And we do that in a few ways. First and foremost, we'll make contact with that firefighter speak with that firefighter, and we offer what we call our toolbox. It's a Tupperware box that has tremendous information. Mm-hmm. And in that box is a guide that we've worked very hard on with the American Cancer Society, the International Association of Firefighters, and it's about a 240-page book, and it's called The Firefighter Guide to Cancer Survivor. And in that, it talks about what to ask your physician, what to ask for a second opinion, how to get your life, family in order. Many firefighters who are young don't realize that they need a will. They need medical directives. They need power of attorneys. It might not be the cancer that causes an issue. It could be working on the interstate and getting hit by a vehicle.
Yeah, unfortunately, that happens.
Yeah, that happened down in Hanover.
Yep.
So we want to make sure a firefighter has their life and their house in order first. The other thing we offer is a badge-to-badge peer support. We have over 250 firefighters across the nation that are trained as mentors that can talk with that firefighter and go through the process with them of their treatment and diagnosis. I'm a mentor, and I'm a prostate cancer survivor, and I can talk to another firefighter who's been diagnosed with prostate cancer, get him some information, but if it's outside of my knowledge base, we reach out to that mm-hmm. other firefighter. And if that firefighter who is being treated has an issue, concern, a question, can reach out to his mentor or her mentor and then ask those questions and get him through the process. We've expanded that program to the spouses. We have many of our wives, significant others who've been trained as mentors also that help the spouses and significant others of those firefighters to get through the process too. Because again, that wife is, you know, she's scared for her family,
yeah.
scared for and concerned about compensation coming in for that that firefighter going through that process. So those are some of the things that we offer, and it's taken, unfortunately, too many times this year. We've had 50 firefighters in Virginia this year that have reached out to us who've been diagnosed with cancer, and that's from all over the state.
Yeah,
and those are the ones that we know of. How many more are out there that haven't reached out to us? You know, we don't know. I'm sure the numbers are greater.
Well, and you don't want to see this affect recruiting and, you know, the need for fire. You know, all localities, you want to have fire stations. I want the fire station that's near me over on Gordon Road to be fully staffed just in case.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that leaders of the fire service, I believe they're aware of. Nationally, there's an issue with getting people to apply for the job. I'm not saying it's directly related to cancer. It's just where we are in society right now.
Yeah.
But it definitely is a factor, I would say, and we need to make a push between the fire service and our elected officials to ensure that we're doing everything that we can to ensure that we're reducing the likelihood of developing occupational cancer. If that means updating our personal protective equipment, fire station designs, to when we're rebuilding or mm-hmm. adding stations to ensure that we're kind of operating off the hot, warm, cold zone of areas so that where we sleep and eat, toxins aren't getting into the station through cross-contamination. Things like that. It takes a lot of forward thinking. It's going to take some time to get this under control, but the members of the fire service, the union representatives, and everybody is 100% committed to extinguishing firefighter cancer. And that kind of, if you don't mind, a segue to what we're doing in Fairfax County through the Fairfax County Professional Firefighters and our push to extinguish firefighter cancer.
Yeah.
We have right now 38 active members of the department that have a cancer diagnosis. Now, that means they're either in remission or they are going through treatment. And this is, again, people that have reported to us.
Right.
We also know of a little over 40 retirees that have informed us of a diagnosis. So going to the support, what are we doing as the professional firefighters of Fairfax County? One of the things that we have done is we designed a t-shirt, and our administration fully supported our members being able to wear a shirt for firefighter cancer reduction, mm-hmm. extinguishing firefighter cancer. I brought one here today for you.
Oh, I'll gladly wear
so
it.
So what it is on the back, it says extinguishing firefighter cancer, and that design in the middle is called the fire tetrahedron. Every firefighter knows that. We learned that early on in fire.
What is that?
So the fire tetrahedron, with what it is normally what it would say is heat, oxygen, fuel, and a spontaneous chemical chain reaction, right? If you remove any side of that tetrahedron that I just told you,
yeah.
a fire will go out.
Fire goes out.
Now, the opposite with this, the play on it is we have education, prevention, research, early detection, and advocacy, right? If you remove any part of the tetrahedron, firefighter cancer will not go out. We have to have all parts of this to tackle firefighter cancer. So we sold these t-shirts, Long's Embroidery here in Spotsylvania helped us out. They made the shirts for us. They had an online store for us where our members could go on and purchase them. And so now our members will be wearing these not only for January, but throughout the year to show support for our members. The proceeds that our members, when they bought the shirts, are going to fund our care package program. And I know your viewers can't see it, but it's a little tote bag. It's got the Maltese cross with the lavender ribbon in it. And inside, it's just things that one of our members going through cancer treatment may need, you know, as they're sitting there going, getting their treatment, you know, a fleece blanket, a winter hat to keep their head warm, some stress balls, word puzzles, candies, lotions, stuff like that, stuff that they would need. So the proceeds from that shirt sale funded these packages that any of our members in Fairfax County that are diagnosed will be receiving.
Wow, very proactive in really trying to, get the word out on this and everybody's involved.
Yeah, we are trying to do better by our people and make sure that they are being taken care of. No one should have to fight occupational cancer alone.
No, and support is the key to it for that firefighter. We mentioned earlier that we have a firefighter here locally who's going to be going through treatment. We've already prearranged with the local hospital to have a group of firefighters meet them with the fire engines out front to meet them as they go in for their surgical procedure, just to show support from the local firefighters to that firefighter that they're not standing alone. We're here to support them. Together we make a difference, and we embrace that. Through our organization and through the local firefighters.
And I'll just piggyback on that. We're not just here to support that member. We're going to be there to support that member's family.
Yeah.
And anything they need while they're having the surgery procedure and the days after, we're going to make sure that they're taken care of.
We've arranged meals for them, transportation, so that way they're not out left alone.
Yeah, no, it really is. It really is a family.
It is,
and like you both have said, in these kinds of situations. Everyone would think, like you say, did you get this because of a call we both were on?
Oh, sure.
You know, that it would cross your mind or even your family's mind.
That curiosity leads into how we actually extinguish firefighter cancer, right? Getting our members to go through medical screenings, early detection, right? It's on the bottom of the shirt. Early detection is key. The sooner that we catch these diseases, we could start treatment. That's why we're actually seeing the numbers come down, right? The mortality rate is actually dropping because we're catching them earlier. But there's a cost to early detection, right? Like what we were talking about earlier. So grant funding, adding it into budgets. We have our own members right now spending their own money to go get these early detection through ultrasound, actually, is what they're doing. And there's a cost.
Yeah.
But it's worth spending.
Yeah, I mean, the cost out of pocket, is it worth finding that cancer early and not going through the full treatment realm? And the answer is yes. My cancer was caught early. I was so fortunate that early detection saved my life because, again, as firefighters, we have a tendency that nothing can harm us. We're great deniers in everything we do. And reality is that it's going to affect almost every firefighter out there in some way or a firefighter that you know. That leads me to discussion of a app that we've designed and a survey that we've designed. So firefighters, when they are on an incident that has the potential of showing a high toxic environment can go onto an app that we've designed with VCU Massey Cancer Center. They could enter that information, log it, and we keep a record of it. And that way we can do some research and follow up. There are some trends that are out there. There are some incidents that have occurred throughout the state that are showing that many of the firefighters that are on that incident have been diagnosed with cancer. A few down in the Virginia Beach area, up in Northern Virginia and Fairfax, we've seen those incidents, and we've seen firefighters that have been diagnosed 4 or 5 years later of all the same types of cancers. So you have to start looking back and saying, wow, there's a trend there, and it's leading to that one incident.
Well, we talk about the General Assembly, the legislation, the bill that's important, but it does really does come down to local city council, board of supervisors, members. And when you're looking at a budget and you see that the firefighter, that the fire and rescue has asked for, you know, some of these things, take a good look at them and don't just pass it by of that's a frill they can do without.
Yeah, the saying, show me your budget, I'll tell you what your priorities are.
Yeah.
Right. We have to prioritize
right
our members' health. Right, it will actually work out to be a savings if we do these measures to prevent cancer. It's way cheaper to prevent it than go through the whole treatment. And ultimately, if we have a line of duty death, the cost that comes along, we don't want to see any of that. Let's just prevent it.
Right.
I mean, National Cancer Institute has documentation of the first year of cancer treatment that includes radiation and chemo could be $100,000 to $1 million, depending on the cancer. Mm. If you can put a couple of dollars up front to prevent it, look at what you're saving. You know, the medical insurance, the counties, the cities, the state are actually paying for those also. So if we do the prevention up front, it's actually a long-term cost savings.
Steve Weissman, Ryan McGill here this morning. We're going to take a quick break and wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Wow, a lot of good stuff this morning. The Virginia Professional Firefighter Charitable Foundation, Virginia Chapter of the Firefighter Cancer Support Network. Our focus with Steve Weissman, who sort of is retired and has been you've been a firefighter in Fairfax, Hanover, and Stafford.
Yes,
is that
sir.
Right?
Yeah.
And you still can't retire.
No, I failed three times. That's okay. That's the running joke.
And Ryan is a firefighter in Fairfax, lives in King George, and just some really great stuff. You touched on it. I wanted to just mention it because it's always good to talk about it. I talk about it with law enforcement a lot. The move over law and how important that is. I mean, you guys sometimes, when you're out there next to the interstate, you're close to a lot of action you hate to see it, but there are accidents, and there was a few years ago the death of the firefighter in Hanover. It's important to get over when you can.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can't stress enough that when you are in a vehicle and you're traveling and you see red, amber, or blue lights to either slow down to the speed limit or move out of that lane of travel to give those public safety workers room to work. We always think the interstate is extremely dangerous, and it is. Mm-hmm. But some of the back roads, some Route 3, Route 1, are just as dangerous, and vehicles are traveling just as fast. It doesn't take a blink of an eye, something to occur on the incident where a firefighter has to back away from the vehicle or the incident scene and get into that lane of travel. So we want the traveling public to please allow these firefighters and police officers and tow operators, give them space. Let them do their job. So, you know, you're going home, you're going somewhere. We want to ensure that our public safety officials go home also.
Yeah, I was on Route 3 yesterday. In intersections always scare me because you have to slow down. The firefighter slows down the fire truck. But you're wanting to get to where you're going as quickly as you can, and you need people to get out of the way.
Yeah, just try and picture that it's you or your loved one waiting for us to get there, or we're there trying to assist them. You know, we need the general public to help us help you.
So, and like you say, you do want to get home. And boy, I've heard so many stories of firefighters and police officers working and having their hats blown off. You just can feel the cars going by you.
Yeah, every jurisdiction I've worked there's been an interstate, and those have been probably the most problematic and scariest incidents I've been on. With a tractor trailer or another vehicle goes by and it comes very close to us.
A couple takeaways from all of this is just the fact of support your local firefighters, and whether it's drives to raise money or whether it's equipment that's needed, realize that equipment is most definitely needed.
Yeah, like we were talking about off air a minute ago, the Virginia Professional Firefighters Charitable Foundation exists to support our members in time of need. That's the function of the charitable foundation. We exist due to donations, and that money is directly used to help support our members in time of need, such as when they're going through cancer treatment. We were talking about the expense and the mm-hmm. time of waiting for a workman's comp claim to be covered. It could be a year, and depending on when you're diagnosed, you could be towards the end of the year and you still have to reach your out-of-pocket deductible, and then you're into next year and yeah. you're still going through treatment and you hit that deductible again. So we're able to assist financially for our members that out-of-pocket expense through the charitable foundation and help them and their family. But we rely on funding through the donations.
So again, the Virginia Professional Firefighter Charitable Foundation, if you want to get involved in this and see how you or your business or can get involved. Serious issues that aren't going away, and as you've talked, I mean, these are just things that you're finding out more and more things as members come forward and have different ailments.
As the members come forward and the research expands, we learn more and more about how our occupational exposures affect us, the long-term consequences, and we're learning how to mitigate them. That's the research is the key to solving these problems.
Well, good luck with this legislation before the General Assembly.
Yeah.
Hopefully that you get lawmakers that are receptive and that some of these cancers become part of the list here.
Yeah, we would love to see the legislators that are in the Fredericksburg region co-sign onto our bill to expand our cancer presumptive. We'll be down in Richmond the 18th, 19th, and 20th. We'd love to meet with any of the legislators to discuss this bill if they happen to be listening. We're happy to talk with you.
House Bill 1408 is what we're talking about. House Bill 1408. Ryan McGill and Steve Weissman, thanks as always for coming in and taking time to talk about this. We will talk again soon. And thanks for what you're doing. And hopefully this helps get the word out a little bit.
Thank
more.
You for having us.
Yeah, thank
we
you
really
for giving us the opportunity to get the word out to the public. Appreciate it.
Ryan McGill, Steve Weissman, the Virginia Professional Firefighter Charitable Foundation, and the Virginia Chapter of the Firefighter Cancer Support Network. That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you Monday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.